Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
All right, Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We kick off this hour as we spend a little, obviously, hour number one, talk a little bit about the Monday night game, which went the Patriots' way, dominating fashion over the Jets, 33-0, the final there, and then a little bit about the Zion Williamson injury. We kick off this hour. Let's get to a little pigskin pileup.
It's now time for the pigskin pileup. Taz and Moose circle the wagons around the NFL.
Certainly do. Out to Kansas City we go first, Taz, and because Andy Reid's not going to put a timetable on the return of Patrick Mahomes to the quarterback spot after he suffered the dislocated kneecap in his last game. Matt Moore obviously is going to be starter in his stead. No timetable on his return. I don't know what necessarily. I mean, right, he's going to be out a little while. I mean, you're not going to be rolling right back, right?
No,
I mean, but Andy Reid doesn't want to define it. I mean, everyone heals a little bit differently, as we've discussed. Different athletes, you know, age comes into play. What kind of physical condition you're in comes into play. There's a lot of different factors. Some guys heal quicker than others, and gals heal quicker than others.
Right, of course.
So he's not going to tell you that it's, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. I mean, even if he did and he was healthier quicker, I mean, he'd be back in the starting lineup. I don't know necessarily what to read into the fact that Reid won't put a timetable on Mahomes' return.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I agree with you. I mean, so like you said, you know, they have Matt Moore in there. Look, a lot of weapons, as we know. It's not just Mahomes on that Chiefs team. It's a really good team. So, I mean, they're sitting at 5-2 for a reason. They're legit. But, you know, like, so they just beat up on the Broncos 30-6, as we know. But the Broncos were prepared for Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean? So it's like, when teams are preparing for a different quarterback, then it's different. Now they have to prepare, you know, they got to prepare for Moore, and they got to pay for what they're playing, Green Bay. They got to prepare for Moore and Mahomes. So maybe that's why he's doing it, meaning Reid. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he said it was a stretch for him to play this week against the Packers. I would imagine so.
Sure.
And he said Reid would go on to say, you go off how he feels, what the doctors are going to go with. I don't think there's a set time, though. I know people want a time, but I don't think you can do that with this injury. Listen, he's not playing this week against the Green Bay Packers.
No, I agree.
I think it's going to be a little while. You want to make sure. And, Tez, I know Andy Reid and the Chief fan, you know, wants to get a little greedy because they want to take down the Pats. They want to go to the Super Bowl. They want to get back to the AFC Championship game. And sometimes that year, it doesn't work out that way. But you also got to think about the long-term success of your franchise and making sure that Mahomes is there for the next 10 to 12 years. You don't want to rush him back to where all of a sudden, I know medical advancements have changed, but you do not want this being an issue or him having knee problems here for the duration of his career. You want to make sure when he comes back, he's set ready to go.
I agree. And, you know, right now as we sit here, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are number one in passing offense. Number one. Okay, so it's like you gotta realize that's going to change. And, you know, I mean, with more there, things are going to change. But they don't care about the stats, but teams' defenses do. They know what they're going against when you're dealing with a Mahomes and you're dealing with the weapons on this team. But now that changes a little bit. You know, Hill's there, Kelsey's there, hell of a tight end. I mean, you know, maybe they give the ball to Shady. Maybe McCoy gets more touches, you know, rushing the ball. I mean, I would utilize that. You got a really good offensive line there, but you're going against a good team in the Packers. So who knows? We'll see what happens. But hopefully it's not too long because we discussed it. Mahomes is not good for the NFL, not good for sports. He's great for it.
No doubt.
You know,
so. Totally agree. Up to Foxborough quickly here, Taz. Two things coming out of last night. Number one, the Patriots so far, as they are 7-0 on the season, right? They are plus 175 in point differential.
Hmm.
You have to go all the way back to 1920. The last NFL team that was through seven games that had a greater point differential than the New England Patriots. Greater than the 85 Bears, greater than the 2000 Ravens. Schefter just tweeted out. You have to go all the way back to the Buffalo All-Americans in 1920.
Oh my God.
Who were plus 218.
They had stats back then?
Who were plus 218. Think about how dominant they were. They were plus 218 through seven games. The Patriots are plus 175. But that shows you just how dominant this Patriot team is.
Insane. Or, like you said earlier, who'd they play yet?
Yeah, true. Right. Now, Schefter, also pregame last night, Taz. You were watching it, and you know, I was tuned in as well at times. I missed that. You know, saw the Randy Moss interview that he did with Brady.
Oh, yes.
But Schefter gave you something interesting as well. We know Brady's house is for sale.
Yes.
We know his trainer's house up in Foxborough is for sale.
Yes.
Brady's contract is such at 42 years of age that, you know, he has he is an opt out, or, you know, he can basically get out from underneath this deal, right? And you know, he doesn't, you know, can get out from being connected to the Patriots after the season, so he's not signed long term up there in Foxborough. There's a lot of people that believe maybe that Tom Brady, either A, this is going to be it for Brady. Now Schefter threw out the idea of maybe him playing or him not ending his career, kind of intimated the fact that maybe him ending his career someplace else.
That would surprise me, that part. Side note, I saw the stuff you're talking about, the house and this and the trainer's house, the chef, the stuff. I saw that, and I agree. It was interesting, because what's-his-name wasn't buying it. Was it
Young.
Steve Young? Steve Young was not buying it. But, like, that matters a hill of beans. But anyway, I find this interesting. The past couple of interviews I've seen Tom Brady on TV, and I'm not going to sit here and say I studied it. He hasn't even said Belichick's name. I think there's always been a little trouble in paradise with those two. I really, we've talked about that in the past.
I haven't seen all the, asked about Belichick and hasn't said his name.
He doesn't even mention him. Like, he mentioned the defense yesterday. You saw the interview with Randy Moss, right?
I thought it was a good interview.
I thought it was, too. I thought
Randy
it was cool.
Did a nice job.
I thought he did a good job. And, you know, you can see the respect. They're former teammates, all that jazz. And paraphrasing, but you saw what happened. You know, Moss said, well, how are you guys winning right now? And he didn't put it over himself or the offense. He said, defense. Our defense is this, blah, 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 blah. There was a good opportunity for him to say something about Belichick.
He didn't do it.
I just found that, I don't know why. I go by instincts a lot. I don't go by what people say or this or that. And I just felt like, meaning like rumors. I don't go by rumors. I thought that was odd that he didn't take an opportunity to give credit to arguably the best defensive mind in the history of football.
That's interesting. You're right about that. I didn't pick up on that. So you think there's a chance he leaves, not calls it a career? Would you be surprised if Brady's not playing football in 2020?
I have to be on the fence on this one. This question you're asking me is an awesome question. But I have to be on the fence. This is why. My gut tells me he retires a Patriot. I don't know what year, but he's going to retire a Patriot and be done. Not going to do like Montana did. Remember when he went to Chiefs after he left the Niners? Remember that years ago? I picture, and people that don't know, I mean, Joe Montana had an amazing career with the 49ers.
Well, I was coming off the elbow surgery,
right,
remember?
Right.
And Young had to assume the control of that 49ers
team. That's it. That's
right.
I wanted to just tie in the Steve Young comment.
Yeah.
See, a little segue for you. But so why I'm on the fence is I also feel like he's got some kind of a issue or some sorts towards Belichick and Belichick with him. So I don't know why. I mean, and it sounds like he's heading up here towards this area. That's what it sounds like, right? That's what we I remember we were discussing that. Like, he's moving. He's looking to maybe move somewhere near New York City or New Jersey.
Well, I know they've looked in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Okay.
Because they do have a...
Expensive
they do have
area. I don't know if you're going to swing that.
Well, I know they do have a penthouse in Manhattan.
Shocking.
I think down in the Village. So I know him and Giselle do have that. But I know they've looked in Greenwich. They looked in Upper Westchester.
Right, right.
You know, horse country. There's a lot of actors and actresses that live up there.
Yeah.
You know, Pound Ridge area, all that kind of
stuff. Pound Ridge, yeah.
And that's, that's about 45 minutes for all those out there. Then Oklahoma and Texas, that's about 45 minutes north of New York City.
Yeah, he's not coming to Oklahoma or Texas either.
Right.
Sorry.
I mean, Taz, to answer the question I threw out there to you, I still would be surprised if he played someplace else. Even with him putting his house up for sale, even with his trainer putting his house up for sale, I think there's a better chance if they win a Super Bowl this year that he says, I'm done.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you feel that there's an issue with him? Belichick.
Yeah, I think they have a lot. I think the common thing that keeps that group together is Kraft.
Huh. Okay.
Kraft's relationship with Belichick.
Yeah.
And then Kraft's fatherly-son relationship
Brady,
with Brady.
Yeah.
Mm. I think if it wasn't for Robert Kraft, I think there might have been a divorce between those two personalities a while back. I think Kraft is the equalizer between the two.
Right.
If you're
right.
asking me, you know, kind of reading it from the outside, some things that I've heard, I think kind of that's the thing. I'm not saying they hate one another.
Right,
but there's no doubt that Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup plan for Brady. And the reports were that 2018 is when Belichick wanted to transition away from Brady to a new quarterback. So that didn't happen. He ended up in San Francisco with the 49ers because, if you believe the reports, because he went to Kraft and said basically get rid of Garoppolo, and they got rid of Garoppolo.
So see, he goes above Bill Belichick. I mean,
correct.
He has that kind of clout. We know that.
Yeah, he has that kind of clout.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, so.
And Brady, listen, or you could look at it this way. Maybe Brady is tired of hearing about the nonsense that he's won all this stuff because of Belichick and says, I'll go someplace else and win.
He won't win someplace else.
I agree with you. But from his perspective, the competitive nature, if I go someplace else and win, Taz, I don't have to hear. There could be no question whatsoever about me being the greatest to ever play the position.
Right. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I know and I talked about it here. My wife and I, we went, and my son, we went to Cape Cod during the summer. And I remember seeing on the local news there in Massachusetts, because you get the Boston News. And they were showing Tom Brady's house, and then it was up for sale. And the local news guys and girls, it was like the most catastrophic thing. Wait a minute. Hold on. It was almost like breaking news. Like Tom Brady's put his house up for sale. Like, it's like people were freaking out up there, dude. Like, freaking out on the news. It was very funny.
The house is amazing.
2 days they were covering it. Two days. Yeah, no, the house. They showed the house. It's not even a house.
It's got a parking garage.
It's a building.
It's got a parking garage.
It's unbelievable.
It's an insane house.
It's unbelievable. It really is.
Staying up in Foxborough just came down. Schefter tweeted out, and here it is.
What happened?
The Patriots have acquired Mohamed Sanu from the Atlanta Falcons for a second-round draft choice. They're looking for another wide receiver, in desperate need for another wide receiver. They get a former Scarlet Knight. We know Belichick loves former Scarlet Knights. That entire roster is dotted with players that played for Greg Schiano down at Rutgers, or played for that Rutgers program, Taz. So Mohamed Sanu is now a New England Patriot. You know what? Good for Mohamed Sanu. He gets out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's a disastrous situation, and goes to an offense that he will absolutely fit as a team.
No
and they'll
doubt.
Be creative with him as well.
Oh,
because the
God.
One thing with Sanu can do is he can throw the football, too.
He's good. Yeah, and he's a
hell of
a player. I remember him at Rutgers. And you make a good point about that connection with Belichick, with Rutgers. Love Schiano guys. I'm pretty sure, I believe his son, Belichick's son, played lacrosse at went to Rutgers to play lacrosse there.
Correct.
Pretty sure
long
he did.
Snapper.
Yeah. Lacrosse, though, too, he played there.
Yeah, no, I know.
He played football, too,
there? But, yeah, he was a walk-on, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, football, too.
Football, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Belichick used to show up at practice from time to time.
Right. Oh, imagine that. You're sitting there and you play for Rutgers and Belichick walks on the field.
Well, right. He'd be sitting there. And you've seen him at press conferences wearing Rutgers gear.
I've seen him at press conferences wearing Hopkins lacrosse gear, too. That has nothing to do with the topic.
No, I get it.
He's friends with
and he's a huge lacrosse fan.
Yeah, he is. So. He played lacrosse over at the... He went to one of those NESCACs. Not Tufts. He went to Wesleyan. He went to... Mike, please have your team. I think he went to Wesleyan. Which
yeah,
is up there somewhere past you in Connecticut, though, like a little north of
that's
you.
That's way up. Yeah, it's yeah. a little
near
that's
Hartford,
a little
right?
Somewhere yeah, that's Hartford. About 2.5 hours
north of me.
Nice
little campus there. Yeah. I think he played lacrosse over there. And his daughter is, I think, one of the lacrosse coaches at Holy Cross up in Worcester, Mass.
Oh, I didn't know.
I kind of know the whole Belichick.
You do?
You went to Wesleyan. Yeah, I know the whole Belichick thing. Well, it's because of the lacrosse stuff. That's how I know.
But, yeah, so he's connected there.
So that news just, I didn't look at my phone. So that just broke about Sanu. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Sanu.
This sucks. I mean, I hate it.
Wow, the Patriots get better.
Oh, God, no.
Here's the one. It's interesting.
Stop.
Well, you knew they were going to get a wide receiver. They had to get somebody. You knew they were going to get somebody to help out that offense. The offense just isn't good enough. And Sanu's going to help out that team. He is. He's a good player.
I agree with you.
He is definitely a good player and was at Cincinnati, was down in Atlanta with the Falcons. And they're going all in. I mean, they are on this year. Oh. I mean, they're trading second-round draft choices. They're looking to try and win in the here and now, Taz. So that's a good – I'm not telling you should love it if you're a Bills fan, but
no,
if you're a Patriot fan, do you help out that offense a little bit? Down to Carolina we go next.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen, well, you saw Cam Newton come back on social media as he is beginning his rehab. Kyle Allen, that's still his team down in Carolina as of now. Even with Newton rehabbing, and the Panthers have made it perfectly clear, Cam Newton is not stepping back on the field until he is completely 100% healthy. Allen has done a nice job in his stead at the quarterback spot. That's his team here moving forward as of right now. Would you cement it as Kyle Allen's team and try and pair off Cam Newton here before October 29th and trade him?
Oh, man, that's hard. We've talked about this recently, too. That's Cam's team. I get it. This kid
is it anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know if it is
this
anymore.
This kid's playing good, man.
Playing well.
Really playing good. Yeah, it's a tough deal. I mean, I feel bad for Cam Newton because this kid is tearing it up. And how do you not go with the hot hand? Right or wrong? How do you not go with the hot hand?
And how do you go back to a guy that clearly, number one, you know what Cam Newton reminds
up?
Taz, you see this from time to time with older fighters.
Mm.
Guys that have been through the battles.
Yeah.
And they can't fire. And what I mean by that is, you know, they can't fire the punch that they need to fire.
That's how I am now.
Yeah, that they used
Washed
to be able
up.
To fire. You saw that with De La Hoya at the end. You saw it when he's going up against quicker fighters and everything like that. You saw it to where they can't get the punches off that they used to get. And I look at Cam Newton and I feel like it's kind of like the same. Mm. Because his body, he can mentally.
His mind wants it.
His mind wants it, but his body can't do what his mind wants him to do like it could in the past. And then anytime you get to that point, because he's been banged up, he's been hurt, he's taken hits, he's played hurt, he's been a remarkable NFL quarterback, there's no doubt about it, a transformational talent, but he no longer plays at the level that he once did. So if you're Carolina, and I understand that was Cam's franchise, but right now, don't you have to win football games? Isn't that what it's about? And Allen, doesn't it give you the better chance to win games right now?
No, I know. What are they, like 4-2? They're 4-2 now. I mean, so, yeah, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to. And I think you make a good point about him being a little bit, I don't want to say washed up, but he's a little bit, yeah, I know you didn't say that either.
No.
But he's a tick behind.
Correct.
Just a tick behind. And that's a problem. You know, that's a problem. I mean, if you're the Panthers, I think you go with this kid Allen. You know you're going to have a pissed off Cam Newton on the bench. Well, you know what? If things falter, you know, they're sitting in second place right now in the NFC South, right behind the Saints. You're 4-2. If you're in your next contest and Allen's not playing well and blah, 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 you got Cam there, and that'll keep Cam will be, Cam will be, he'll be motivated to do well because he's never been in this position with the Panthers that he's been behind the eight ball. He's always been in front of the eight ball. You know what I mean? So, and when they're coming off a bye, right? They're going to San Francisco. So, they got a tough game.
Which will be a tough team.
Yeah.
And a tough game here. How about down to Jacksonville? Nick Foles to return to Jaguars practice.
My team.
Gardner Minshew, we know Minshew mania. Yeah. Jacksonville coming off a victory against the Cincinnati Bengals. When Foles is set, ready to go, that's his team?
I don't think so. Do you?
I do. I think they give the starting job back to Foles.
Really? Okay. They love this Minshew kid.
I know they do, but let me ask you, Taz. They're so heavily invested in Nick Foles financially. You don't think Foles, due to the broken clavicle, you know, he comes back, he plays.
You go and right now, to him.
And they go back to Nick Foles. And listen, Minshew has been a revelation. They're selling mustaches down there and everything and having Minshew days down in Jacksonville. And again, he's been a huge talking point here in the NFL. I just think when Foles is ready to play, I think he's back as the starter down there in Jacksonville.
Man, I don't know.
But it's an interesting discussion. You can easily make the argument for Minshew.
I mean, it is. I mean, they beat up on the Bengals 27-17. Minshew was looking at it right there. He was 15-32 with 255 yards, no interceptions, one TD. And by the way, Fournette, I told you he was going to wake up eventually. He's running the ball well.
He's
quietly doing well. And that's helping Minshew, by the way. So that running game is helping him. But, yeah, you're probably right because they're financially invested heavily in Nick Foles, you know. And he got banged up so early. So, yeah, I would guess you're right. But I wouldn't be opposed if they stuck with Minshew for a little while.
To kind of, Marone went through a game plan Monday, right? They said he talked to, you know, the quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. They have a game plan moving forward. He said he'll probably throw scout team 7-on-7, do a lot of work on the side, getting himself ready, and then kind of see where he is and increasing as we go. So they're not going to throw him to the wolves. They're going to ease him back as he returns to practice here, Taz, coming off that broken clavicle, which makes sense. But I do think when he comes back, when he is ready and he's over the scout team and the 7-on-7 and, you know, he's physically ready and they feel like he's physically ready and he's up to speed, yeah, I think they go back to him. Well, and I understand that they've got a backup plan here in Minshew.
Well, the good news for them is coming up for them are the Jets. And yeah, they're playing the Jets down in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. They're just Jaguars are literally licking their chops. So they're in a good spot right now. So no matter what they do there, quarterback when Foles comes back.
Yeah, that certainly is. And the final note is we've seen a lot of trades. The NFL trade deadline's October 29th. The Raiders yesterday paired off former first-round draft choice Garrett Conley to the Houston Texans. They get a third-round pick back in return. And what you're starting to see here, and Conley certainly has his issues away from the football field, there's no doubt. But if you look at the personnel here for Mike Mayock and for John Gruden, Taz, and they've been wrong in Gruden, certainly with Khalil Mack. There was a wrong decision by the Raiders at the time, and Mayock wasn't part of the fold. They're starting to pair guys off and figuring out guys that they believe are part of this team for the future and guys that are not. Texans looking for quarterback help. They trade their third-round draft choice. The Raiders acquire an asset, not nearly the asset of the value in which they drafted Conley, but they didn't look at Conley as being a guy that was part of their future either.
Right. Well, I mean, Raiders got they're in an interesting spot. They're sitting second place in the West, you know, and they, you know, right behind the Chiefs. They got, you know, the 3-3. I mean, they moves are vital right now because they're still quasi could be in this, especially who knows what's going on, as we talked about earlier, about Pat Mahomes with those Chiefs. Right? So who knows?
Never know.
No, you don't know. So, you know, I mean, I don't think they have the talent to be a dominant team in the West, but I just think they got to, you know, meaning the first place team to come out of the West, I should say. But, you know, hey, who would have thunk it? They're sitting in second place right now. So,
and I think if Carr doesn't fumble that ball through the end zone, that's a completely different game.
Absolutely,
Lambeau Field.
I agree. I saw that. I know
that,
you're right.
That changes the entire complexion of that game. Sometimes it comes down to one play. I think that took the momentum from Oakland, and I think, you know, Green Bay was able to spurt away, and that pretty much decided that game on Sunday.
I agree.
There you have it. A little pigskin pile up here on this Tuesday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. We come back. We'll talk a little World Series. Gets going tonight, amazingly enough. The Fall Classic tonight down in Houston between the Nationals and the Astros. We'll touch upon that, give you our thoughts on the series. It's Taz and the Moose on a Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sunday, NFL on CBS doubleheader, starting with the Colts battling the Broncos, or Kyler Murray's Cardinals taking on the Saints, followed by the Browns and Patriots going toe-to-toe up in Foxborough. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Fall classic. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Nobody asked.
That's not a fall.
No, go ahead.
It's just about my big toe. So.
Nobody asked.
Nobody,
you stubbed your toe?
Nobody asked how I'm doing. Nobody here.
Taz, you're a former wrestler that had a neck
injury. Former world champion, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. That had a neck injury. I think you get over a cracked toe.
I know, but it hurts a lot.
Broken neck. I understand that.
It hurts like hell.
I understand that. You're not wearing flip-flops. You got shoes on. You got the sneakers on. Protection there.
I do, but it hurts so much every time I step.
You are the Zion Williamson of CBS Sports Radio.
Well, and just a reminder, Moose, you don't need this, but the audience might. Yesterday, I showed concern for Taz. Didn't see him. It was 5:45 or so. Where's Taz? Could something have happened on his way to work? Where's Taz? I see Taz. Oh, there you are. Why do you care where I am? I've been here since 4:30. Why are you timestamping me? Now today,
a slight attack. Well, that's the paranoia.
Yeah, today
that's
I stubbed my toe.
That's
and
not
then,
whether or not you're concerned. That's the paranoia setting in.
The lack of trust.
Right.
Today,
exactly.
Right. That's,
within an hour, we haven't gotten him flowers for his broken toe, and we're all horrible people.
Well, it's not broken. He's got a cracked toenail that drew a little bit of blood.
There was a bloodshed. There is. And, I just thought someone would have said, how you feeling? You mentioned it earlier in the show. And no one here has said, how's the toe?
Hey, Taz, how's your toe?
Hurts.
Sorry to hear that.
Swollen, but I don't know if it's bleeding in there. I don't think so. But I'll be all right.
Check it.
I'll be all right.
What are you going to do about it?
What do you do, a curb stomp on the couch? I mean, you got up
very heavy.
You got up from the ottoman. I mean, geez. How heavy of a walker are you?
For not a tall man, I have a very big foot. I wear a size 15. So, big feet, big hands. You know what I mean?
I wear a size 15. Really, that's a 10. But I wear a 15.
Yeah.
Just for sure.
Clown shoes, Jones.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Right.
Flip flop, flip flop.
Right. Exactly.
That's why I keep tripping.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh man, it hurts so much. I have really big toes. Like my big. I should put it on Instagram. On my Instagram. Get some views on that son of a gun. Did I mention I'll be on YouTube
like
later?
That.
No one's ever said I'm all toes before.
I'm all toes.
Yes.
I'm all toes.
Yeah.
Watch AEW Dark tonight.
AEW Dark, 7 o'clock Eastern time
YouTube,
tonight.
Yeah, AEW.
7 to what?
7 and 8. 7 to 8, then you watch World Series.
There you go.
But you can watch it on it's YouTube, so you can watch it on Time 1 after. But
it comes on, it launches at 7.
Yeah, big launch at 7. Okay. I know everyone's going to be locked in here.
No doubt.
So, yeah, Taz back in the booth calling action. Pete's very excited. Pete was talking to me earlier.
I have a pre-show party.
It's awesome.
Starting at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Pete will be done cleaning up the latest muffin on the floor. And he'll head home and watch AEW Dark.
And he's got a wound
as
check.
The crack of his rear end is on view for everybody.
That's actually tomorrow morning.
Right.
Someone ate the muffin. I asked him that story. It's very funny when he told the story that someone took the top of the muffin, and you mentioned that he was cleaning it up, and the bottom of the muffin just exploded.
It was like all over the floor, like someone was eating it off the floor.
Well, it's not just the muffin. It's the fact that his jeans covered half his rear end as he was bending down to clean up the muffin.
Yeah, that's a bad look, Pete. That's called railroad ass. I used to work for the Long Island Railroad. So a lot of those guys that were out of shape that were trackmen I worked with, they would bend down and crack City Jones.
Right, plumber's crack.
Yeah, that too. We used to call it railroad ass.
Right, that was a Monday morning. That was when you were outside in your car, with the lights on, listening to some AC/DC.
Yeah.
I came in and saw the crack of Pete's rear end.
Nice. That's a happy morning, Pete.
You're welcome.
What's going on, Pocus?
Oh, hey, Moose. So the Patriots are 7-0 for the third time ever. As Moose so astutely mentioned a few minutes ago, they have outscored those 7 opponents by 175 points. And now they're better this morning. New England reportedly adding receiver Mohamed Sanu from the Falcons for a second-round pick. Philip Dorsett caught Tom Brady's TD pass last night at the Jets. Sony Michel scored 3 times on the ground. And the defense tricked Sam Darnold into 5 turnovers.
Attaboy, Sammy D, off the back foot all day.
Oh, wow.
Knock, knock, guess who's here? The boogeyman cometh.
Scott Zolak having fun.
Hold on a second.
Scott Zolak.
Was he on the show before?
I believe. Maybe?
No, we've had this conversation like three weeks ago. He has not been on the show.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
Three weeks ago. I think it was longer than that.
No.
Mike attacked me.
Yeah, sorry. We had the Bengals color analyst.
Yes.
Named
Escape. Another homer.
Lapham.
Yes.
Another homer. Screaming, yelling, Homer
Correct.
Jones.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. This guy's the same way.
I'm not sure if Dave Lapham taunts opposing quarterbacks like Scotty was doing last night after Sam Darnold's fourth and final interception of Monday Night Football. The Pats rolling to a 33-0 route at the Meadowlands. As always, Bill Belichick wouldn't stop talking after a big win.
We have a lot of good players, and they played well tonight.
His Pats have swept the Jets for the fourth consecutive season, beating them by a combined 49 points. This time, it was actually closer in Foxborough with Luke Falk playing quarterback for the Jets earlier this season. The Falcons, meanwhile, confirming a sprained right ankle for QB Matt Ryan. He'll miss practice to start the week, but still could play Sunday against Seattle. Lions running back Kerryon Johnson may miss multiple games with Sunday's knee injury, and Ravens linebacker Pernell McPhee likely done for the season with a torn pec. That's three straight weeks Baltimore has lost a defender to a season-ending injury. Zion Williamson's NBA debut, not tonight. June's number one pick had his right knee scoped. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. The Pels kick off the new season without him in Toronto at 8 Eastern, then the Lakers and Clippers. In Utah, Joe Ingles signs a one-year, $14 million extension. He's now under contract for the next three seasons. In Houston, the World Series begins tonight. Gerrit Cole throws the first pitch at 7:08 Central. Max Scherzer counters for the Nationals.
What they do up and down the order, it's a complete lineup, you know, kind of 1 through 9. So you got to be executing every single pitch that you go out there and throw.
That Astro lineup will include Yordan Alvarez, the rookie DH, will bat 7th after going 1-for-22 in the ALCS. In hockey last night, the Blue Jackets won in Toronto 4-3. Gus Nyquist scoring on a penalty shot in overtime. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, pal.
You mentioned it. Game one tonight, and we're going to be joined here by Jeff Blum, Astros analyst, former MLB infielder. He's going to join Taz and myself to close out the program this morning at 8:40 a.m. Eastern time, Taz. But, you know, the Fall Classic tonight, and clearly, I get we're not playing, you know, kind of big market players here. It's going to take a little while, I think, for, you know, the nation to kind of click into this series. But I think if they do, Taz, I'd be surprised if this is not a great series. Now, I know Washington's been off a while. And that's a mountain that they have to overcome, something Jim Leland and the Tigers can do it on two separate occasions. However, if they're able to kind of find their rhythm quickly once again in this series, even with the time off and the extended break in between the NLCS and the World Series, I think Washington's going to give Houston all they can handle. I think it's a fascinating matchup. I think, you know, both bullpens aren't great. You look at the starting rotation, both teams have dominant starters. You've got guys, the Washington Nationals are the best two-strike hitting team in all of Major League Baseball. They've had a number of big two-out RBI hits throughout the course of the postseason. We know the Astros have been a team that have played, you know, great team, you know, great defense, timely hitting in terms of the home runs. I think it's setting up for a really good World Series.
I agree. And with this pitching matchup with Cole and Max Scherzer, that it's just tremendous. That star power for sure. I mean, and Cole. I mean, God. I mean, this guy's been just about unhittable, you know, throughout the postseason. And they didn't have to use him, you know, in a Game 7 against the Yanks, you know, because they beat the Yanks, you know, without having to utilize him. So he's been rested. I agree. I do think you got a lot of firepower on the hill with both these two guys and the way these two teams match up. I mean, hopefully they can pull in the casual fan, but who cares? It's the end about the casual fan. Baseball fans like yourself and me, we're gonna be locked in watching.
I can't wait.
I think it's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Who do you like to win the series?
Oh wow, Blunt Jones right at it.
I'm on the Nats train.
Happening. The Astros will win the World Series.
All right, so we're in a disagreement there. You think it's 7-game series, 6-game series?
6.
You think it's
Astros,
6?
Yes.
I'm gonna go Nats in 7.
Wow.
I hope we get I want to see a classic series. This has not been a great postseason.
You know I'm not gonna. How can I pull? I can't.
Oh, no, I don't expect a Met fan to root for the Nats. I expect you to root for the Astros. I expected you to pick the Astros. I don't disagree with that. That would be like me picking the Red Sox.
No,
I agree with you. I'm not going to...
But let me interrupt you. Why wouldn't you, as a Yankee fan, why wouldn't you want to see the Astros win? Because then your team got eliminated by the best team.
I hate that.
You don't like that. Okay, I understand. Some people don't like that. I got it.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Some people hate that.
But there are people that keeps them, at least we lost to the team that won the World Series. So it's not that big of a deal. Or, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. To me, you lost, you lost. Even if the team goes on to have success, you still, it doesn't matter. You have an opportunity to win a series and you fail on multiple different levels. It's still a disappointment. That doesn't really do all that much for me. I know people that would be kind of, you know, that thing works for them where they say, it's kind of the warm, cozy blanket at night. It doesn't do anything for me.
As your kids get older and they keep playing sports, that's a parent's narrative when your son's team gets eliminated in a tournament and he's in a car crying. You're like, hey, listen, this other team's going to win the whole thing and you guys got beat by the best. And then the kid's like, oh. Well, and then the sobbing stops. Trust me. You think of all different spin jobs.
But listen, I can understand that. Yeah. I can understand that because you're trying to lessen it for your son or daughter and the impact, and you want them to kind of deal with it a little bit better. I get that. I understand that. As a fan, watching it the disappointment is still going to ring true. Now,
have you gotten over this Yankee loss?
No, not yet. It's going to be a little while. It's going to be a little while.
When you were on WFAN last night, did people call about the Yankees?
It was a football show.
So what?
No, we did mostly. It was an hour. We were, no, it was a football.
A one-hour show?
No, an hour and a half sponsored, Giant-sponsored show.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
So no, I was filling in. Carl Banks and Kim Jones were both off, so I did the show solo. I did it on remote last night from
Fancy boxes?
No, I didn't do it from home. You imagine me doing it from home? My kids wouldn't let me breathe.
That'd be great radio.
Kids,
imagine the background sound.
Kids would be screaming, Daddy, be Daddy, awesome. Daddy. I'd be like, Donna, get him out of the room. I'd lock myself into a room, and this is what you'd hear in the background. Like, what's that banging sound? We got a bad line. That's my son trying to kick the door down.
He's throwing his hockey stick at the door.
Exactly right. Daddy, lay with me. Daddy, put me to sleep. Daddy, give me a bed. Daddy, 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 daddy.
Oh, yeah.
No, that would not have gotten over.
Program director would love that. He got mad at you because you wore a hood in the building. Imagine that. When you're co-hosting with your kids.
What are all these kids doing here?
We have to pay all four of them.
Right. Exactly.
They got to go in the union.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. You got to get after a call. Sack. Jackson Malusis has got to get his SAG card. He was on the air last night. He owes dues.
He has a direct deposit.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired of hearing from Ackerman.
By the way, you can't put in for them. You can't put in for your kids.
You and Jackson can't have the same vacation, Moose. It's not happening. Can't do it. That's funny, man.
What a world. What a world. Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. gets fined, Taz. OBJ is back in the news. We'll touch upon that. We'll do it next. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Taz, got to give a shout-out for the Sugar Rush and really the wonderful gift. Jesse Perez, right, sent us a nice note. Hello, Taz and the Moose. I'm a very loyal listener to the show. I listened via the podcast, heard you guys discussing your favorite candies. So I thought, why not send you some just to show my appreciation and joy from Jesse Perez, hashtag we over. Oh. Sent us a 36-count of whatchamacallits and a huge box of Reese's Pumpkins, the Reese's peanut butter cups in the shape of pumpkins for Halloween. Jesse, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
No doubt, Jesse. Thank you very much. You threw me off my diet. That's okay. I had to watch McCallin at 7:45 a.m. But anyway, no, it's awesome. It's really nice of him to do this, and so much candy. And
honestly, it's awesome. I haven't seen a watch McCallin There's
enough in there, right? I mean, I took some.
There's plenty. No, I wasn't counting. I was just.
No, because Pete the Body. Oh, when I brought the box in there, yeah. Pete, sorry, I got to say, Pete goes, whatchamacallit? Pete, I'll give you some. I need some.
It's the greatest candy in the world.
I love whatchamacallit.
Well, you mentioned it first, yeah. Moose.
But there's only one gas station near me that has them. I don't find all. They're not all over the place.
Change the wrappers. They used to be orange. Remember, like orange or red.
Were they orange?
They used to be red or orange.
It's a little bit.
And I actually
more
think they're a little thinner now. Now we're ripping Jesse's. Like he gave us the cheap version of the whatchamacallit.
No,
thanks, Jesse.
This is great.
No, I'm kidding. No, these are great. Now they changed the wrapper though for sure, but they're delicious. They taste the same.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you something. These Reese's peanut butter cups, I can eat that whole thing. How many's in there? I can't even see it.
Here.
There's a ton. I mean, this is like something you get at BJ's.
38.
I can eat all of them. Like now.
Only 38.
I think that's 38 times 2, right? It's a deuce.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So yeah. There's 72 of them.
Want to eat them all now?
Easy to burn off.
Yeah. Bilotti also told me in my headset, he's like, I want 10 of them. I'm like, all right, Pete.
Yeah, I'm 12.
Pete. No, but the thing is, Jesse was very kind of him.
And
you know, I usually check candy before I eat it. I didn't check this one. So, Jesse, hopefully you didn't, like, inject, like, some cyanide in these bars.
Well, it's from a... no, stop.
My God.
It's from a well-respected shipping entity. I'll
really?
Put it that way. Yes.
Okay. Well, I know I just... Oh, okay. Yeah, big time jokes.
I don't think you have to worry. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about contamination.
I just delved right in and got the candy.
This was not an individually wrapped apple when we were kids showing up at the door.
In saran wrap.
Right, in saran wrap where you're like, you know, don't bite into that apple.
I'm looking for Jesse's tweet because I know yesterday he tweeted both of us.
He did.
My social media... take two. My social... Okay. Anyway, I saw his tweet, social media manager. Told me. I hired a guy now. He does my social media. I don't think...
Mike, you got to take a picture of these and send them out to Jesse and thank him.
Well, the butcher calls is kind of half empty now. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
I just found his tweet to the show, so I just gave a retweet out from that yesterday.
There you go. Very nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Now I feel bad. He should have been in our esteemed fantasy football tournament.
Okay. That's right. Who's winning that, by the way?
Is it still going on?
Bilotti, who's Mr. Fantasy Football, said, who knows?
Yeah, well, because he won last year.
Poor Eli in Sacramento. He's, like, dominating the league.
He's so pissed, Eli. He's like, man, these guys, they suck at fantasy football. I thought they were going to be locked in. We were supposed to be, Eli, but, you know, stuff happens.
Hey, Eli's still in first at 7-0.
Well, he might stay there. All right. I don't know what to tell you.
What is that?
A lot of excitement.
I don't think a lot of us.
That's a good job.
Here's the problem. I don't think a lot of us have made moves, you know, like with bye weeks, and we have players that are playing that weren't even supposed to be playing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I've adjusted my roster. My roster is not particularly good, but my team's not bad. My quarter, you know, I've just gotten some inconsistent play at certain spots.
You were boasting that you got Barkley back.
Well, I did. I know. 72 yards and a touchdown. I need more from Barkley.
Just came back. Give him a chance.
I understand. It was against Arizona.
My kid watches the game. He goes, he's the best running back ever. I go, no, he's not the best running back ever. Because in my son's mind, his generation, like, I go, dude, there were like running backs. And he starts spitballing. I'm like, wow, he did his homework. He spit my kids. Telling me about Earl Campbell, Gale Sayers, Tony Dossett.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah, Barry Sanders. And I'm like, this kid is not better than them right now. Maybe one day he will, but not. You can't deem him. But for younger people, he's like their guy. You know what I mean? So he takes
no. And I get it. He's a wonderful. I think he's the best running back in the league. I would agree with your son on that.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think he's the greatest running back the NFL's ever seen. If Sanders never retired early due to the frustration of losing in Detroit, I was having a conversation the other day with somebody who's a huge Barry Sanders fan. He would have set a mark that Emmitt could not have touched in terms of rushing the football, in terms of being the all-time leading rusher. He would have passed Sweetness. He would have, and I don't think Emmitt Smith would have been able to touch it, but Sanders decided to call a career early. He was frustrated out in Detroit. He was such an amazing running back.
Really was.
And I get that he was a kind of an all-or-nothing guy. He's a different type. But when he was in the open field, Taz, what he was able to do,
he was
making guys look foolish, going the other way, and he'd go to zig and zag.
Yeah,
he was an amazing running back.
You know who would have, if you know, he didn't have to retire young, would have been amazing and gone down as one of the best, I feel, is Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis,
yeah,
he really was on that road, you know. But then he got, you know,
the knee injuries,
the knee. And remember, he couldn't see in the.
Well, he had the migraines.
Migraines, yeah.
Remember, and then he had the braces to help out the migraines, and he was dealing with all that. Yeah,
he
Terrell
was something
Davis,
else, though, man.
He was something else.
He was good.
Was he? I think he was a fifth round pick out of Georgia.
Yeah, he definitely went to Georgia.
He went to Georgia. I think he was a fifth round pick by the Denver Broncos, I believe. But he was a hell of a running back. He really was.
Sixth round pick. Amazing, right? Sixth round pick. He was real good. I think he could have, you know, I know people think Terrell Davis. If he would have, you know, he left early. If he would have kept, like, he was really, really good. But again, it's a durability. We talked about Zion Williamson before. You know, you got to be durable.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy. You got to avoid the serious knee injury. You got to avoid all of that to make sure that you're able to stay on the field and be really, really productive. But there's no doubt about Barkley's brilliance now, but he's got a long way to go to be the best ever.
Yeah.
But is he capable of being the best ever? Yeah, Taz, I don't think it's out of the realm to say when Barkley's career is over, he might be the best running back ever, but he's got a lot of work to do to get there.
He's got time. He's young. Yeah.
We got the three coming your way next. It's Taz and Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.